Let us pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts, O Lord, be acceptable to you, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. One of the interesting things about being a pastor is sometimes you go through a whole sermon. You speak about everything you know of, and then you go through the liturgy, and guess what? Everything is wrapped up in one good sentence. That happened today as I was going through the communion liturgy. And there's a reason we go through the communion liturgy, and this is actually not a Bible, for those who don't know. This is a missal. It sits at the there, and it gives us the service of the book. So it's really the service is kind of like the green hymnal. But one of the things it does is every week at communion, we have the holy, 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 which is the sanctus. And then we go into, it is indeed right and salutary. You know that part, right? And a lot of times it's not listed. And I think it's a shame because this is written for the season of the day. It's written for the time. So we have the Christmas one and we have the Epiphany one. But listen to this. This really fits here. Christ, in the wonder and mystery of the Word made flesh, you have opened the eyes of faith to a new and radiant vision of your glory, that beholding the God made visible, we may be drawn to the love of God whom we cannot see. And with the church on earth and the host of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. We wonder what the reason for God coming to this earth is. And we see that in that one sentence that was written many, many decades ago, if not centuries ago, that the reason that Jesus came to this earth was to make God visible in our lives so that we might see truly who God is. Interesting. God had been in the world for hundreds of thousands of years. People knew who he was. What I find is interesting is we know for a fact that the Jews had worshipped him for thousands of years ahead. They knew who he was. They had received word from him from many sources. Whether we talk about the great patriarchs of Abraham and Moses and Jacob and Isaac, or we could go on to the judges, and the judges lead into the kings, where you have Saul and David and Solomon. And then you have the prophets, Elijah, Elisha, Jeremiah, Nehemiah. Every one of these people proclaimed God's good news. Now, none of them saw God except for Moses. They heard God. They proclaimed the message of God, but they did not see him. And Moses is the one unique one because Moses asked, God, can I not just see you? And God says, well, that wouldn't be good for you, Moses. And he says, well, hide in the cleft. When Moses keeps begging, he says, get in the between the rock, and when I come by, I'll let you see my backside. So literally in the Hebrew, it says that Moses saw the backside of God. Because if he saw the front of God, guess what? He would die because of his holiness. That's why in the Holy of Holies, that they went to such extremes to make sure the priest was washed and sanctified and cleared up. Because if he got in front of God's presence, not even the view of God, just in the presence of God, he would die. And they would actually tie a rope to the priest's ankle. And so if they didn't hear, and bells to him. So if they didn't hear him in long enough time, they'd actually pull him out by that rope so that they wouldn't go into the presence of God, because it would just kill them too. And here John speaks of the presence of God comes into the world in such a unique way that we see Jesus and we can see God. Not only can we see God, but we can see him living amongst us, present amongst us. We can see his love for us. We can see what he would have us do, how we should live our lives. This is God's ultimate love. It's restoring a relationship that God had when he created us. When he created humanity, he said, "This is different than the animals and the birds and the plants and the earth. I created these beings to be in relationship. I created them to be able to be one with us, and so we could dialogue and interact. And though I am God and I will always be God, I want them to know me." And then Adam and Eve made their fateful mistake, and what has humanity done over and over and over again? Continued to make that mistake. We can go even to the day when Moses goes to God and says, "God, we don't know what we need to do." And he says, "Come out to Mount Sinai." And Moses goes up to get the Ten Commandments, to give them wisdom. And the Ten Commandments are supposed to give them hope and joy and knowledge of who God is. And what happens down below, they say Moses takes a little too long. So we're not going to worry about God. We're going to place it with something else. And so they create the calf. And Moses comes down and says, "Uh-oh." And he actually gets so mad, he breaks the tablets and goes back up the hill and has them melted down. And he comes back and says, "Okay, you want to know who God is? You want to know how it means to please God? Then here's these 10 things." We don't do so well in it. We fail. We see this thing that God has given us to love and to cherish instead become an anchor or a weight, something that holds us so that we can't live up to it. And what does God say? "I've tried speaking it through prophets. I've tried giving you in wisdom and words. I've tried to enlighten you and to show you that I am a God, and just be faithful to me. Just hold on to it. And you know what? Every time it doesn't work. So now I'm going to come and be present and visible. I'm going to come and restore this relationship. And I am going to come and do the work. I'm going to enlighten the people. Wisdom. I will give them wisdom. And what is that wisdom that God is going to give to them? What is the light? The light that we find is, first of all, that we have a loving God, a caring God, one that holds us tight and says, "I will not let you go. As much as you want to flee from me, I am that nagging little person that says, 'Come back. Because I care about you.'" Second of all, what we learn that it is important to trust in God. And trust I use instead of faith. Why? Because Martin Luther makes it quite clear that faith and trust are synonymous, but trust is something you do with all your heart, your mind, your soul. When you really trust in something, you're willing to give it all because you believe in it. Now, granted, it's hard to trust sometimes in our sports teams, especially the Mountaineers. And sometimes it's hard to trust in governments. And sometimes it's hard to trust in all these things that we want to trust in. And we want to say, "I put it in." And we want to trust in our wives and our spouses. We want to trust in our kids. And you know what? They fail. But God says, you know what? If you paid attention to history, if you paid attention to everything I've done, I have always been faithful. I have never stepped away. I am something you can put your trust in. Not only do I love you, but I give you that trust. Trust that I am good. Trust that the eternal life I bring comes. Trust that I am ever present with you. Finally, it enlightens us. When we see who God is and become able to trust in him, guess what? The world around us changes. We do not have to fear. Because the God who created all things, the God who made all things, the God who is in charge is able to be with us and promises we do not have to worry about things. And you know what happens when we can stop worrying about our needs? Whether we're going to be taken care of, whether God, then we can start worrying about others. We can start loving others. That's the second half of it. It frees us up because if we believe in God, guess what? And trust in God, then we do not have to fear. And that opens us up to trust. One of the things that amazes me, on a regular basis, I'll go to the funeral home. And the person pulls me aside and says, "Pastor, you know, I don't know if mom or whoever it is good enough." And my response is always, "It's not about her. It's not about him. It's not about us. It's about God. And God doing the grace. God coming to us. God enlightening us. God showing that it is about his work. That allows us to be the hands and feet of God. To be a light in the world. We hold that light. We see that wisdom. It's marked up there, way up there in that upper window where we see the candle flame in the book. We recognize it. Wisdom is important. But the greatest of wisdom is knowing who you follow and making sure you have the right one. And you know what God did? He gave his son to this world so that we could see him and trust in him and follow in him. Amen.